This is FUV Live Sessions, a podcast brought to you by WFUV in New York City. Each week, we talk to artists in our Bronx studio or at venues around New York City, and we listen to them play a live set. You'll get to hear the songs and learn about the artist or band. Episodes drop every Monday wherever you listen to podcasts. Be sure to follow the show to stay up to date on all the latest episodes, and you might even find your next favorite artist or band. And if you like what you hear, make sure you rate and review the show so other music lovers can find it. This is FUV Live Sessions with Counting Crows. I'm Megan Suma, and I'm here with host Benham Jones at FUV. Benham, while we are known for our music discovery and introducing people to their new favorite artists and bands, this episode is a little different. This is a veteran band who we have all known and loved for decades now. They have a new album, so talk to me about what it was like to have Adam and Immy from Counting Crows in the Bronx.
Well, it's interesting because even though they are, as we kind of in the interview we get into, they're now a classic rock band, I still think in the lineage of WFUV, it's a music discovery that a lot of people got from Rita Houston in the 90s. So I didn't bring that up with the band, but I'm reflecting on it now. You know, when people ask me, what kind of station is WFUV? I'm like, oh, it was a heritage folk station in the 80s and then the 90s when folk and alternative sort of kissed with the Counting Crows and then Regina Spektor later. Even though the Counting Crows have been making music for 30 years, FUV itself in New York City was kind of the home to the young Counting Crows. So it was cool to, and as I expressed in the interview, the first couple Counting Crows records, you know, I was born in 1986. I think August and Everything After was 1993. So I'm 8 or 9 years old. And, oh no, I'm 7 years old. And
I was three.
I am Benham Jones. My father was Mr. Jones. And it was a huge part of my musical education. It's kind of like back engineered. I discovered the Counting Crows, and then I discovered Bob Dylan, and then I discovered the Heartbreakers. I discovered all these bands that were so influential on that early Counting Crows sound. And honestly, I was saying to someone before the session that all of my earliest terrible poetry that I wrote as a child was basically set to the cadence and rhyme structure of Counting Crows tunes. So for me, a very surreal experience to interview this band and also to just hear Adam's voice, Immy's signature guitar parts live right in front of me was really a special treat. The band was also totally gracious. I was a little nervous. You know, when you interview people who've been doing this for 30 years, they have sat for thousands of radio interviews and they've probably said everything they can to say, but they were very generous with me. So I appreciated that a lot.
Yeah. In this session, we're going to hear one new song and we're going to hear two more classic songs from their catalog. So what is this first song that we're going to listen to in this session?
The first song we're going to hear, it's called A Spaceman in Tulsa. And basically, they put out an EP in 2021, which is called, it has a funny name. I think it's called The Buttersweet. And then this is a completion of that record.
Got it.
And it's, I think it's 6 or 7 songs that actually come before this EP that's already out. So it's like the staging for then this suite that happens at the end where all the songs kind of run into each other. So Spaceman in Tulsa is in that earlier set of songs. And it's cool. And I asked the band about this because you'll hear it's a little bit different from the EP that came out that is forms the back half of this record because it sounds like that is the suite. And these are like the singles in a way that that stage. It's kind of like, I know it's a huge thing, but the way that Abbey Road is set up, that the first side of Abbey Road is, you know, separate narrative based songs with all these characters. And then the second half of the record is a suite that all runs into each other. So we're going to hear Spaceman in Tulsa. It's just Adam and Immy. Immy's playing the guitar. Adam's singing. He hits the piano at a moment here, too. But then he gets into the piano a little bit more later in the session.
You're a spaceman in Tulsa, so you cover it up in clown white. All these elegant boys make such delicate toys, and they know it. He says, I know you wanna believe in something, but if you can see all of the people in me, and the shadows descend from his eyes to his hands, down to his naked all-American knees. Doesn't anybody wanna be a rock and roll queen? dress yourself up in a diamond tiara. Swishy little Reiki said, man, I'm gonna make them insane. I'm a painkiller and I'm a caterpillar. They can't break you, man. Another well-known butterfly found on a bus out of town, turning into an old law rock and roll star. Allie says she's one in a million. Other people tend to agree. From her fishnet luck to her blackbone chucks, she's a fading Miss American dream. But her daddy couldn't keep his distance. She says you can't keep them away if you try. The saddest mistakes are the ones that we make, wishing away what's right in front of our eyes. Doesn't anybody want to be a rock and roll queen? Leave them laughing when you want to die. Crazy little dreamer says, man, I can't believe I'm still alive. I'm a painkiller and I'm a caterpillar. They can't break you, man. Another well-known butterfly found on a bus out of town, turning into, hey mama, I'm a rock and roll star. Bobby's a rock and roller, says everybody, somebody I used to know. Man, I was a toast of the town back when we knew where to go. I was a spaceman in Tulsa, but if you could see behind my eyes, I'm just an empty smile and a song I don't even know that I'm singing. Doesn't anybody want to be a rock and roll queen? Light your rocket and burn right out of town. Crazy little sucker says, man, I guess I'll see you around. And I'm a painkiller and I'm a caterpillar. They can't break you, man. Another well-known butterfly found on a bus out of town, turning into, mama, I'm a rock and roll star. I'm a painkiller, yeah, 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 yeah. Hey, mama, I'm a rock and roll star. I'm a painkiller and I'm a caterpillar.
New music from the Counting Crows live in Studio A up in the Bronx. I'm here with Adam and Emmy. Thank you guys so much.
Happy to be here.
Yeah, anytime.
Pleasure. So that was Spaceman in Tulsa, and this will be on an upcoming release that sort of completes the suite of what came out in 2021, right?
Yes. It is the complete suites now.
The complete suites. Yeah. Was it all recorded at one time, or did you go in and kind of retrofit the story?
No, we did the suite alone right before the pandemic, and then we got, the city shut down.
Yeah, the pandemic happened. We got shut down for a year.
And then we came back and did this stuff just last year.
Because what I love about that EP, and honestly, it was, I mean, I was 6 years old when the first record came out. My father is Mr. Jones, so it was a vital and important piece of my musical education.
We've been wondering who that is.
Yes. Yeah. The 2021 release really brought me back to y'all's music, and it was very exciting to hear the continuity and just the storytelling throughout the new songs recorded for it. And I was seeing on Spotify that they come earlier in the record, and it seems that the suite finishes it out. Is it that same sort of continuity, like long form thematic storytelling and melodic storytelling?
No, they're single songs.
Got it.
I mean, I think
they're all of a piece, though.
It all
fits together. It all makes sense of this particular era of Counting Crows,
you know? Which makes sense. The same people played and wrote it, you know, so bound to have some sort of thread.
We were really happy to get that the first batch out during the pandemic. We got shut down in the middle of making it, and we finished it. The city was still shut down when we mixed it, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, we had our producer and engineer drive in from Chicago, so they didn't fly. Everybody stayed at my house. I cooked for everybody that week, and we found a studio like 2 blocks from my house, so we could just walk there and mix the record. You know, Amer lives about six blocks away, so it was right between the two of us. And so we were able to finish it during the pandemic, the suite.
Something that I love about that EP is it very much at the core, it's classic Counting Crows songwriting, but sonically, you can tell that you're doing a little bit more, perhaps, studio work, like different instruments coming in and out, kind of bringing me to influences closer to like ELO at times, and especially having the themes.
Haven't heard that one.
Run throughout. Awesome. Yeah, I mean, that's what I thought when I listened to it. And just wondering if it was it a different approach to previous records in any way in terms of the instrumentation and sort of the flourishes that you're bringing in sonically?
I think they're all different approaches just because you get interested in different stuff as time goes by. I think when I wrote some of it, I was really thinking about like Mata Hoople and Bowie in a certain mm-hmm. way, and also some British folk music, you know, in the Tall Grass. But, you know, it just kind of, you just follow your interests wherever they go. You know, it's not really something you think about much before you're doing it. But I for all of this record, I was really thinking about, you know, big glam guitars and, yeah, I don't know, what it sounds like, I guess.
Yeah, the demos hit me that way that you sent from the farm where you wrote most of it. It was in England where you happened to write the sweet part of it.
These two, the second half.
Oh, good.
The only song not written in England was With Love From A to Z, really.
That colors it somehow. You know, I was thinking about Mick Ronson a lot. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've been thinking about him since I was 13 years old. But
for sure.
There was a bit of, you know, mid-period Who in it and, you know, and definitely, you know, golden era Mott the Hoople for a bunch of it, you know, so...
And in terms of the songwriting, you were saying Adam wrote the songs up in England and then you got the demos. Is it primarily, because you said the band has seven right now, the full band?
For a long time.
Okay, for a long time. Is it mostly you two doing the primary songwriting and arranging, or is it a full collaboration with everybody?
I think it's a full collaboration with everybody. I mean, I do the writing mostly, but even that, you know, when I say I do the writing, it's really just a skeleton.
Sure.
It's like some chords and some words. It's not a song, you know, and I mean, if you like a Counting Crows song, it's because of the work we do together.
Mm-hmm.
Like what it takes to turn the bare bones stuff into a full song is what we all do together.
There's also a great thing that people don't really talk about. Adam writes on piano, and he writes in specific piano keys, which are definitely not guitar keys. So for me, it's like, oh, how am I going to adapt this piano thing to guitar in ways that are sort of counterintuitive to guitar? And it's great. You know, it just makes weird stuff happen, weird guitar voicings and just, you know, making the thing happen somehow as if it was a piano. You know?
Yeah, it's cool. A weird part of our band that I write on piano, but mostly for guitar.
Mm-hmm.
Like in my head, what I'm hearing is rarely my piano parts. There are songs where that's the case, but mostly I'm writing for guitar. But it's in the wrong key because I don't know any better.
I will yell at him from time to time. You got to play piano on this. You're a great piano player.
No, I like the piano moment in Spaceman in Tulsa.
Oh yeah, we're gonna dial that one in.
yes. Someone was telling me before you'd arrived that you'd only really practiced this iteration a couple times with just the two of you.
Oh, I'd say once.
We practiced it once a day and a half ago.
I love that. Yeah. I love to get the raw stuff.
This was a rehearsal, actually. Yeah.
No, I was saying we've only actually played the song live outside recording like twice. We played it at soundcheck the other day at a gig.
Yeah, I wouldn't call that playing it live.
Yeah, and then we played it. I just mean actually playing it at all outside of
in a room.
Studio.
Yeah, okay.
We played it at soundcheck the other day to try to work on it, and then we played it acoustically here today. That was with the full band. Which is why I don't have the words really, I don't really have them down yet because I haven't played it at all to like, you play it a bunch and they just sit in your spine, but I haven't really done that yet.
It's cool to hear it in its early infancy also because I remember I saw y'all play when I was like 12 years old because I truly was obsessed with these early records. It was just, they hit me very hard, but it was hard for me to understand your live set at that time because I was young in my musical education and the song arrangements live were actually quite different from what you were doing on the record. So I was wondering if what we were going to see here today was going to be different from the single that I had heard.
The answer is yes.
Yes. So very cool. With that in mind, can we hear another track?
Yeah, let's play Washington Square.
Why don't we?
Why not?
All right. In Studio A, live on WFUV, it's the Counting Crows. Thank you.
sold my piano. He couldn't come with me. I locked up my bedroom and I walked out into the air when nothing I needed was left there behind me. I walked out through the shadows of Washington Square. Now I wander the highway from Dublin to Berkeley, and I heard the songbird of Ballyporeen. I love and I love and I love like a fountain, but it left me with nothing, just memories of walking Washington Square. Now I live in the shadows where all the lights are electric and time is a number that rests on a wall and nobody knows me. All of my friends, all of my family are as far from this city as Washington Square. This warm night in a blanket of starlight, and I follow this freeway out, out, out into the air. In case you should wonder and wanted to find me, I'm traveling homeward to Washington Square. I'm traveling homeward to Washington Square. Washington Square. Washington Square.
Live in Studio A up in the Bronx at WFUV, we've got Adam and Emmy from the Counting Crows with a tune a couple records back that was Washington Square. Incredible stuff, guys. Very powerful. It's radical to hear, you know, such distinct identities with the band, your guitar playing, your voice, of course. It just immediately transports me back to hearing your music for the first time.
Cool. So, thank you.
Quite compelling. So you've got a new record that completes the EP, and then there's a huge tour planned, right?
We're nearly always touring, but yes, there's one this summer. We're going all across America this summer and then to Europe in the fall.
Was it last year that you were with Santana?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, a bunch of my family went to that. I was out of the country at the moment, but sad to have missed it. What is What's the makeup of the tour this time?
Us and Gaslight Anthem.
Oh, sick.
The Gaslight Anthem. Yeah, we were going to take last year off. We'd been touring a lot of summers in a row, and we were going to take it off, and then Carlos called and asked us to tour with him. And
like, when Carlos asked, yeah. You say yes. When
Carlos called, wow.
It was fun. It was cool.
It was really cool.
We toured with him like 25 years ago in Europe, and it was such a blast. And just a great. The band is really cool. They're great guys. Everybody's really cool. It was really fun to play with them again.
So almost, it's been maybe 30 plus years with the Counting Crows, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
He and I have been doing stuff for 41 years now.
Wow.
It's astonishing.
And this iteration of the band, it must have been for 2 decades, you said?
Oh, more than that. We've all been together. I mean,
this
our bass player is
2003, mm-hmm. is this lineup pretty yeah. much. Yeah.
Our bass player is the newest guy, and he joined 22 years ago. So, yeah.
So the same lineup since 2003, 20 years making music with the same group of guys. How does the shorthand develop over time, or how is it writing and performing live?
More unperceivable by other people because it is so shorthand. Like a little twitch will mean something, and you know, weird grunts. You know, there's an internal language when you're playing with people that long. You know,
yeah. I mean, five of us have been playing together for more than 30 years.
Yeah, yeah. You develop an ESP at a certain point. You know, you just know what the person's going to do, or you just anticipate, oh, it happened. Well, the thing I thought was going to happen happens, you know, and it's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty much been the same band since the beginning. And it's just a different drummer, different bass player.
And in terms of, you were saying that it's, for each record, it's kind of like a different approach to the songwriting, or it's coming, does it feel like it's coming from a different place on each album?
I don't know. I mean, I never really think about it. Songs just sort of develop and, you know, but you change. So you're interested in different things. You write about different things. There's different music you're interested in. So you're trying different stuff in the studio. I'm not really someone who plans any of that ahead of time. I never think about what I'm going to write. There's no themes. I think all the records have themes, but none of them were themes that were planned beforehand. Mm-hmm. It's just like when you...
Yeah, it's all a hindsight thing, right? It's yeah. Like, oh. Look at that pattern.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the record when you're done, you're like, oh, well, yeah, it's clearly about where I was right then, which makes sense because it's where you were right then. But yeah, it just, I just feel like, you know, different points in your life, you're a little different, and that's reflected in the music. But not much of it is intentional.
For either of you, any records that you can look back on and either you appreciate more deeply now or you even struggle to listen to because they represent a different time?
Oh, our records?
Yeah, of your records.
Our third record, This Desert Life, which I loved then too, but it's the record where everybody wants to play those songs live.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a bunch of songs on that album that just, it's a quirky, weirder record, and I think it's just like everybody loves playing those songs.
Big riffs.
It's too. Just, it's just we get a lot of requests from like the band itself to play High Life, Wish I Was a Girl, not Carriage as much, that's on.
Good one, though.
Speedway,
yeah,
like well, St. Robinson.
We request Dream. Internally to play these songs.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It comes from like when we're making the set list, people want to play those songs. I've noticed that over the years. As much as everybody, I wouldn't have said that was any reason anybody loved it more than any others. But I've noticed, you know, in making the set list every night that as we make those together, that's the record that people want to play songs from all the time. They're always requesting it.
Well, the sets for the show, and it's a huge stadium tour, and I understand there's a lot of considerations to go into that in terms of the sound and everything, but do you play and make a different set for each show?
Yeah.
There are certain eras where, you know, there's certain things we always play, you know, but it gets shuffled around, different songs get inserted every night, you know, just for our own sanity, you know.
I mean, the only song that has probably been played every night since we recorded it is A Long December. I everything else, there's just times where you get tired of something and so you mm-hmm. don't play it. And there's been tours where we didn't play Mr. Jones. There's been tours where we flipped Round Here and Sullivan Street on a given night.
Yeah,
we'd
right.
play one night. We'd right. use them to open and we'd use one night, one the next. I mean, almost every song has been in and out of the set except for A Long December. I think I just never get tired of it personally. I don't know why, but it just...
Yeah, it just, it's an evergreen, you know?
Yeah.
A tune that is fully a bona fide classic now with Na Na's that maybe rival Hey Jude in a way. In a way.
Yeah. I put it number two on the Na Na songs. I don't think there's any competition with number one for any song. No one's touching Hey Jude. even the Beatles.
But it's Na-Na's we all know now.
Yeah, it's weird. It's become like a seasonal classic. I notice around Christmas time every year, Instagram pops up with lots of people playing A Long December.
Yeah. I literally texted a group chat this past Saturday on the first really warm day, and I said, hope everyone is feeling good coming out of the long December into the spring awakening. So it's become almost it's a cliche, it's a term of art. I remember when these first albums dropped, there was a lot of talk about what your influences were in terms of classic rock and stuff, and here you are now a classic rock band with just classic tunes. Is it harder to write new music with that mantle on the shoulder now?
Oh, I don't think I ever think about it.
There you go.
I mean, when you're making music, you're not really thinking about anything else. I don't know. I'm not. It's never been a pressure thing. It's just, you know, you get excited about making a record. You make a record.
Can't help doing it.
Yeah. We don't have a lot of other job opportunities.
Yeah.
So this is it.
How do you keep going this long? Bloody mindedness.
Yeah. You know?
I remember on our first tour, we opened for the Stones. It's on the Voodoo Lounge tour, and I was thinking about it because it was 94, and I was thinking, wow, it's been 30 years since like the first Stones record. They've been together for over 30 years. How wild would that be to be together for over 30 years? And it's 32 since our first record now. So,
and yeah. They're still going, and that's 30. They've been going for 60 years. It's like,
yeah,
actually, surprisingly, still pretty good.
Yeah, they can still hold it down.
Yeah.
I guess just real quick to wrap it up, just because I'm always curious, music that y'all are loving right now or anything that's just in your ears that you want to give a shout out. I'm always curious what people are listening to.
God. This morning I was listening to the sax player out of L.A., Sam Gendel, who I dig, who makes really weird records. And what the hell else was I listening to? Harmonia, this great kraut rock super group.
Amazing.
I was listening to, I keep coming back to this Gang of Youth album, Angel in Real Time. Mm-hmm. They're an Australian band. They live in England. And I sang on the record, but I still think it's one of the best records anyone's made in the last decade. And I was really getting off listening to the last 1975 record the other day. I mm-hmm. still think that record is so good. Being Funny in a Foreign Language, that was
yeah.
called. Just great stuff on that record.
Both those bands with a lot of Counting Crows DNA, certainly.
I mean, they're just really innovative, cool bands, both of them. What else was I listening to just recently? Oh, I was doing some radio DJing for this thing. I was listening to Dinosaur Jr. and Built to Spill. Find songs to play for this radio station out in LA.
Also bands who have been doing it just steady on for such a long, long time.
Yeah, it was great when we played the Jesse Malin tribute show at the Beacon Theater a few months ago, and Jay Maskus was there playing, and he was just great. I get the biggest kick whenever he steps on that pedal to solo and just like an airplane. It's so loud.
Yeah,
it's
like
awesome.
A cannon. Yeah. It's cool. Like Doug Marsh and Jay Maskus are kind of, you know, they are certainly cousins, but such a contrast in styles in terms of what they bring to the stage.
Amazing. Great guitar players, both of them. Yeah.
Amazing guitar players. Well, thank you so much, guys. This has truly been a pleasure, and it's almost like I said, these are the early records were stuff I heard when I was just not even 10 years old and meant so much to my musical education. So this is like a moment when the simulation
much
is kind of showing. Yeah,
much appreciated.
Since you said you never get sick of it, can we hear The Long December?
Yeah, I'm always happy to play A Long December.
What a great idea.
Why not?
In Studio A, live in the Bronx, it's the Counting Crows with The Long December on WFUV. Good luck on tour.
Thank you.
Long December, and there's reason to believe maybe this year will be better than the last. I can't remember the last thing that you said as you were leaving, but now the days go by so fast, and it's one more day up in the canyons, and it's one more night in Hollywood. Think that I could be forgiven, I wish you would. Na 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 na.
but no pearls. And all at once, you look across a crowded room, see the way that light attaches to a girl, a girl, a girl. And it's one more day up in the canyons, and it's one more night in Hollywood. You think you might come to California? Well, I think you should. Na 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 na. Your turn. Well, I drove up to Hillside Manor sometime after 2 a.m. And we talked a little while about the year. I guess the winter makes you laugh a little slower, makes you talk a little lower about the things you could not show her. And it's been a long December, and there's reason to believe maybe this year will be better than the last. I can't remember the times I tried to tell myself to hold on to these moments as they pass. It's one more day up in the canyon. And it's one more night in Hollywood. Hey man, it's been so long since I have seen the ocean. It's been so long since I have seen the ocean. Oh, 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 oh man, it's been so long since I have seen the ocean. Na 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 na, yeah. Na 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 na, yeah, 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 yeah. Na 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 na.
That was the Counting Crows performing an In Conversation at WFUV in New York City. A big thank you to Adam and Emmy from the band for joining us in our studio, and to BMG and Red Light Management. Thanks to our WFUV audio team, including Jim O'Hara, James Higgins, Sophia Derek Palumbo, and Olivia Grant. Our FUV live studio sessions are engineered by Jim O'Hara. Our associate producers for this episode were Bayan Mengering and Cadiz Salazar. Megan Suma is our executive producer, and our theme music was composed by John Crick. Be sure to follow FUV Live Sessions wherever you get your podcasts so you can listen to new episodes and find your next favorite artist or band. Episodes drop every Monday. You can also catch audio and video of the FUV Live Sessions on WFUV.org. FUV Live Sessions is a production of WFUV in New York City. I'm your host, Benham Jones.